We have been considering together the 26th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, particularly the experiences of our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane. Today we want to consider with you what we have referred to as the agony of our Lord, which he endured while he was there in Gethsemane. We have looked at several different things that contributed to the agony of Christ, but the one we want to consider today, actually the last one, is perhaps the paramount one. And I would call to your attention those verses found in Matthew 26, which begins with verse 38. Jesus said unto his disciples, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and he left them and went away and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. If you were listening closely as I read this portion of the Word of God, you will notice the emphasis that was placed on this particular phase of the agony of Christ in the garden. I have been pleased to refer to it as the agony of the cup. 3 times did the Lord Jesus Christ say to the Father, Let this cup pass from me. But added, If it is not your will, then I will drink this cup. Of course, I believe that the real agony of the Garden of Gethsemane is here in the cup, when the Lord Jesus Christ prayed, Let this cup pass from me. Now, we need to ask ourselves the question, what was this cup of which he spake? Because there is a difference of opinion as to what the cup actually was. And we need to know, if we are to understand completely what the Lord Jesus Christ had in mind when he prayed that prayer, Let this cup pass from me. Now, the significance of the cup as a symbol, not necessarily this particular cup, but any cup, the Lord Jesus Christ had already taught in Matthew chapter 20, verse 22. Remember, he said to 2 disciples who wanted to be one on his right hand and one on the left, Are you able to drink of the cup which I drink and be baptized with the baptism of which I shall be baptized? And they very foolishly said, We are able. We'll do whatever you want us to do. Now, what was he talking about when he said, Are you able to drink of the cup of which I have to drink? Well, I believe he was talking about the cup of suffering. I believe he was talking about the cup of death. And the cup, used in the light of the context, is certainly the cup of death. There in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord Jesus Christ held the cup, so to speak, and he said, Father, if it's possible, don't make me drink this cup. Now, what was he talking about? Someone may say, and the most commonly accepted answer is, Oh, well, it's evident what he was talking about. He was talking about his death on the cross. He was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, Oh, God, don't let me die on the cross, if there is any other way out. Well, now, I am well aware, as I have said, that the majority of Bible scholars believe this is exactly what he meant, but I have never been able to accept that, and I have been prompted to study the Word of God to see what he could have meant if the cup in the garden did not refer to the cross. I say that it does not refer to the cross because it is inconsistent with my picture of Christ taught in the Word of God, who before the foundation of the world agreed to come and die. It's inconsistent. The picture of him would be inconsistent to think that he would try to get out of that obligation the last few moments that he was here. I don't believe it, because the story is told that he set his face as flint to go to Jerusalem, and he knew what was waiting for him there. I don't believe he was trying to escape the cross. I believe he was praying, O God, don't let me drink of this cup if there is any other way. He was praying about death in the garden. I think that is the reason why he was met with terrified surprise, to which we have made reference in our previous studies there in the garden. I think it dawned on him that Satan was trying to kill him there in the garden before he ever went to the cross. He went to the garden not primarily to pray about this thing, but when he got there, he realized Satan was making an attack to keep him from going to the cross if he could. And that certainly would be in keeping with all of the activity of Satan related to our Lord Jesus Christ. For from the very moment that he entered his public ministry, you will remember when the devil took him up upon the pinnacle of the temple and tried to take his life. He continuously tried to take his life. And even before that, you might say almost from the day of his birth, Satan was trying to kill the Lord Jesus Christ so that he would not get to the cross. It was Satan who prompted Herod to kill all the little babies in order that he might kill the Lord Jesus Christ, since at that time he had not been identified. I say, I believe that when the Lord Jesus Christ was praying, let this cup pass from me, he was speaking of the cup of death. That is evident, and he was speaking of the death that he faced in the garden. Now, I have found a passage of Scripture which satisfies my own mind on this subject. And when you have time, you read carefully in the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verse 7, where it is recorded that the Lord Jesus Christ, in the days of his flesh, with strong crying and tears, lifted his voice to God that he might be saved from death. Well, that sounds like the way he prayed in the garden, doesn't it? And you might say, yes, that's what I mean. He was praying that he might be saved from the death on the cross. No, in the very same verse, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, it is stated that he was heard, that he was delivered from that death. Now think with me very carefully. The Apostle Paul was giving this illustration concerning the Lord Jesus Christ to emphasize the need for very earnest prayer, because when he used this illustration of the Lord Jesus, he emphasized that the Lord Jesus Christ used strong crying and tears in relation to this prayer time in the garden. And he was emphasizing the earnestness with which he prayed. Paul said, if Paul is the author of the Hebrew letter concerning Christ, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. That sounds like Gethsemane, doesn't it? Strong crying and tears, sweating as it were, great drops of blood. True, someone says, that's what we're saying. He's asking to be delivered from the cross. But wait a moment. The last statement of this seventh verse says, and he was heard. He was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. God heard his prayer. And of course, when God hears a prayer, God answers prayer now. If the Lord Jesus Christ was praying about his death on the cross, God did not hear him for he died on the cross. Oh, yes, I am aware of what folks say, but God raised him from the dead, and that was the real answer to his prayer. Now, I repeat, that does not satisfy me. I believe that the devil was trying to kill the Lord Jesus Christ in the garden to keep him from giving his life for you and for me. For the devil would have done anything he could to keep Christ from going to the cross. Now, I have always said to you that when we deal with a debatable passage of Scripture in which good and godly men differ, we never make an issue of it. I could be wrong in what I have suggested to you. I don't think I am. I feel very definitely that I am right. But whether I am right about that or not, there is a tremendous lesson to be learned in these verses. There is a lesson concerning the surrender of the cup. Now, without being foolish enough to suggest that you will ever drink of a cup as deep as that of which the Lord Jesus Christ drank, I think we would do no violence to the Scripture to say that there will be a cup in your life sometime, something unpleasant, something you don't want, something you would like to see different, and you will pray about it, and God will say, drink of the cup. Then you know the beauty of surrender in your life, because you are surrendering and saying, Lord, if it is your will for me to drink of this cup, that I will drink. There is another lesson to be learned, and that might be summed up in the phrase, the warfare of prayer. Because did you notice the way he prayed? He didn't simply make a request and then say, now that's settled, I've prayed about it. He went back again and again and again, and it wasn't because his faith was weak, or it wasn't because he was begging God. He was fighting a battle. And don't you think for a moment, my friend, that when you want something from God, all you need to do is say, Lord, give it to me. The devil will do everything he can to hinder your prayer life. The last word that I would like to leave with you is connected with the relationship to God in the midst of the warfare of prayer. Did you notice how close he was when he said, Oh, my Father? If you could read that in the original text, you would say, Oh, Father of mine. Is God that close to you? Are you that close to him where you can cry, Oh, Father of mine, hear my prayer? I trust if you are not that close to God, you will become that close today.